tonight. We'll start by reading a couple of verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then there's a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, two verses actually together, which I also wanted to read at some point as things go on. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, so let us read then. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela, Chapter 4, Sanatan Goswami visits the Lord at Jagannath Puri. And let's first of all read verses 129 and 130, and we'll read 131 also. Yajyapiyo tumi hayo Jagata Pavana Thomas Parashe Pavitrahaya Deva Muni Gana Tatapi Bhakta Swabhava Maryada Rakshana Maryada Palanahaya Sadura Bhushana. This two actually very famous verses. This is Lord Chaitanya speaking to Srila Sanatana Goswami. Translation. My dear Sanatan, although you are the deliverer of the entire universe, and although even the demigods and great saints are purified by touching you, it is the characteristic of a devotee to observe and protect the Vaishnav etiquette. Maintenance of the Vaishnav etiquette is the ornament of a devotee. And let us read also 131, the following verse. Maryada langane loka kare upahasa Iha loka paraloka duihaya nasha. If one transgresses the laws of etiquette, people make fun of him, and thus he is vanquished in both this world and the next. So first of all, just a little background to this is, you know, the context within which these verses are spoken. The chapter is called Sanatana Goswami Visits the Lord at Jagannath Puri. And, Sanatana Goswami visited the Lord in Jagannath Puri and spent some time there. And On the way down from Bengal, Sanatana Goswami, he was in a great rush to get there and get the association of Lord Chaitanya. And he, in those days, they didn't have planes. there was life before aeroplanes. They did not have even trains. They didn't even have cars or anything like that. When they wanted to travel some distance, as in this case, from Bengal to Jagannath Puri, at least by, it is sort of 500-600 kilometers, roughly. So he walked. I mean, if people wanted to travel, they walked. Or they would take a bullock cart, which was sometimes slower than walking. I remember taking a bullock cart from Vrindavan to Radhakund in 1976. It took the entire day. The whole day. So anyway, so he walked, but he was so inspired and enthusiastic and just, you know, completely, totally into getting there as quickly as possible. He ran. At least basically he was running as much as he could and traveling the whole day, not sleeping much, not eating much, and taking bath just wherever there was some little body of water, he'd use the water. And unfortunately, on the way, due to the contact with the bad water particularly, maybe also just through eating just something, whatever, here and there on the way, but particularly the bad water, he got sores on his body. He got a skin condition, which was very severe, very extremely drastic, which he didn't really bother doing anything about. Anyway, it's a long story and there are different elements in the whole story, but this particular incident here, Lord Chaitanya is glorifying Sanatana Goswami that you, even though you are such practically a unique devotee, just very special even amongst the great acharyas, and to the point that you are the deliverer of the entire universe. It's not just, you know, sales talk or flattery, patronizing talk at all. Lord Chaitanya actually feels like that. And it's true, Sanatana Goswami, his contribution was just incredible. And although even the demigods, and not just the demigods, but also the great saints are purified by touching you, still you observe the etiquette, the proper standards of conduct. In Sanskrit, the term, sometimes the term sadacha is used. Acha, of course, means activity, and sad can be taken in different ways, but one way is eternal. The eternal standards of activity, or in other words, how people live in the kingdom of God, their natural standards of activity. So that you meticulously maintain these. Yeah, Maryada Rakshana, he said. Maryada Rakshana. That you actually, and Maryada Rakshana and Maryada Palana, they're kind of the same. Rakshana is specifically to protect the Maryada, the etiquette, the standards of conduct. And palana also basically means to protect, but it's translated here as maintain. And then he says, if people don't do that, or if devotees don't do that, then people may laugh at them, or, you know, or worse. Yes, people might become, you know, very disturbed with them even. A few spots of ink on a white sheet are very prominent and noticeable. So anyway, but the background is that there was Sanatan Goswami visiting Lord Chaitanya, and he had this skin condition which was really very extreme. You know, we may get a few sores or itches when we were young. Some of us may have had some pimples, some acne, or something like that, and so on and so forth. But this skin condition of Sanatan Goswami was so extreme that he had little, like, maggots. Little, like, creatures living in some of the sores. And sometimes one of them would fall off. And you know what he would do? He would put it back on. And Lord Chaitanya was letting this go on for some time. Lord Chaitanya let it go on. So anyway, Sanatan Goswami was living somewhere there in Jagannath Puri, and Lord Chaitanya was sort of a little bit on the other side of Jagannath Puri. That place is still there, the Gambira, in the temple of Vakreshwara Pandit, the Radhakanta temple, Gopal Guru temple. So that Gambira is there. It's just a little structure, about, like, literally about this high, that Lord Chaitanya would live in. And Sanatan Goswami would come sometimes to visit him. But Sanatan Goswami's place was, if it was on the other side of the town, basically, or, yeah, like, big village, small town type of thing in those days. And in order to get from Sanatan Goswami's place to Lord Chaitanya's place, the direct route was right past the entrance to the Jagannath temple. Big, big temple where just so many people are coming and going the whole day, every day. So anyway, so Sanatan Goswami would visit sometimes, and he'd have to go through. It's the main street, and then on the other side, a few, some hundreds of meters up the road, was where Lord Chaitanya was staying. So one day, Sanatan Goswami arrived there at Lord Chaitanya's place. And Lord Chaitanya, of course, was extremely happy to see him. And then Lord Chaitanya noticed something, that Sanatan Goswami's feet, the soles of his feet, were blistered. It was midsummer. And, you know, anywhere in India, basically, is hot in summer, and Jagannath Puri is not like super hot, but it's probably like 40 degrees, maybe a bit more, 45, something like that. So it is really quite hot And Lord Chaitanya saw these blisters, like heat blisters, on the soles of Sanatana Goswami's feet. So he asked him, just a few verses before this, he asked him, what happened to your feet? As Sanatana Goswami said, well, I walked here and I walked along the beach and the sand was hot and my feet got blistered. And Lord Chaitanya said, but why did you walk along the beach? That's the roundabout route rather than just going straight up the main street. And Lord Chaitanya's place was further up the main street. So it was a lot longer actually. And it was along the beach where the sand was very, very hot. So Sanatana Goswami said, well, you know, the thing is, I have this skin condition. It's really very unpleasant. And I've got these sores and they ooze. You know, sort of like pus and mucus and unpleasant stuff like that. And I was worried, if I go past the front entrance to the Jagannath temple, there's so many people coming and going just all day, including the pujaris, the priests, the cooks, and all these people involved in the altar worship of Jagannath, and the standards there, the standards, well, in general, standards for altar worship in any proper temple, any serious temple, the standards are very high. Standards of cleanliness and you know, different things, qualification of the pujaris, but in this case, cleanliness. As Sanatana Goswami said, these pujaris and others serving the deity, they come and go all the time. And I was afraid, if I walked through there, one of them or some of them might brush against me, and this contaminated stuff from my sores might get on their bodies. If they didn't notice it somehow, then they might go on the altar with that horrible contamination. Is just wrong altogether. But if they do notice it, then they have to go take a bath, and it's a whole thing, and it's just they would be inconvenienced, and either way, it would be an offense on my part. So, therefore, I decided not to take that risk. So I came around on the beach. And he said to Lord Chaitanya, don't worry about these blisters. They're not very serious. It's all right. And Lord Chaitanya was so moved, really, you know, you could say impressed, but he was moved by the sincere concern of Sanatana Goswami in terms of the standards and the etiquette. The term is Maryada. And so this is what he said. Let me just read it again. My dear Sanatana, although you are the deliverer of the entire universe, and although even the demigods and great saints are purified by touching you, it is the characteristic of a devotee to observe and protect the Vaishnava etiquette. Maintenance of the Vaishnav etiquette is the ornament of a devotee. If one transgresses the laws of etiquette, people make fun of him, and thus he is vanquished, both in this world and the next. You know, Lord Chaitanya here is saying upahasa, upahasa, which means laugh. But, you know, from the point of being a bit laughable, you know, not to be taken seriously, a bit of a joke, to the point of thus he is vanquished in both this world and the next, you know, it's a little bit more serious than just, oh, look, you know, he's got two odd socks, or something kind of eccentric. Like that, just a minor amusement to be vanquished as a result of that, not maintaining the Vaishnav standards of conduct, to be vanquished both in this world and in the next means, my gosh, we're talking about something really serious. It's a big thing. It's a very big thing. Yes, so in Krishna consciousness, following the instructions here of Lord Chaitanya, we certainly emphasize that devotees should learn how to live as devotees. Like here, for example, what does the word clean mean? And what you might, or people, some people might think it means, but it may actually not be. So, you know, this was sort of the particular point in question there with Sanatana Goswami. Yes, but we are brought up devotees. Please forgive me for saying this. Don't mind, okay? Don't be angry with me. But we are brought up as sort of like, well, you know, maybe pleasant malechers. Even if you're a nice, pious Gujarati brought up as a vegetarian. Sorry. Yeah. It really, you know, it's a fact. It's just a fact. They were brought up in the, very much in the Malecha environment, Western society. And there's so many habits and just conceptions about how to live, what to do, what not to do. So we're brought up, and just in terms of natural inclination and just inclinations based on our conditioning, in at least in many ways, not perhaps in all ways, maybe sometimes and always, but definitely in some ways, we are really prone to do things, to conduct ourselves in ways which are actually even offensive, actually. And if not offensive, but just wrong and just, you know, it won't help us, it'll set us back in our attempts to make progress in life. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya is emphasizing this here. And he's saying that it is the characteristic of a devotee. Prabhupada's translation is, it is the characteristic of a devotee to observe and protect the Vaishnav etiquette. And this is the ornament of a devotee. So devotees, with the greatest of respect, taking the dust from your very nice feet. Please take this to heart, because it will help you. It will help you. Whereas if you don't do that, that will sort of unhelp you. It'll do the opposite. You'll get knocked spiritually. So it is the characteristic of a devotee to do like that. In other words, devotees, a devotee can be recognized. It's a very significant factor in being able to appreciate who is a devotee, or maybe not just who is a devotee, but what type of devotee, what level of devotee we have here, if when we meet someone. If one observes the standards of the devotee in terms of their conduct and dealings, then this is at the very least gives a very important and clear idea what sort of devotee do we have here. A beginner, a medium level, an advanced, very advanced, or whatever it may be. So, of course, we would definitely need to know what are the characteristics of a devotee, what are the qualities of a devotee. And without going into great detail, but there are 26 main qualities of a devotee, which are given in Chaitanya Charitamrita particularly. Yes. The main characteristic in Sanskrit is Krishna Akarshani, means attached to Krishna. But then there's 25 others. And here Lord Chaitanya is referring to the others, mainly, the general standards of conduct. So we should work on this. We actually need to work on this. Just like we need to work on our chanting. Am I right? Who here can say that every day I just get up early and I just chant my rounds, as we say in Chatsworth, one way? Who could say that? Just with full attention, 108%. And the mind is not going off even ever this way, that way. What am I doing today? What happened yesterday? What about this person? What about that person? And all that. Who can say? Well, perhaps I shouldn't put words in your mouths, devotees, again, and with respect, of course. But I don't think any of us can, seriously. Yeah, and I think that if we think that we can or do, I think we're, you know, to put it nicely, sort of kidding ourselves. We may be in Maya, more than it's safe to be in Maya. Yeah. So we have to work, my point here is, as we have to work on certain things in our Krishna consciousness, we have to work on studying Prabhupada's books. For most devotees it takes some discipline. Otherwise you end up, you know, you may have been a devotee 10 years and you've never read the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. I won't ask anyone who's been involved. But I'm serious. Yeah, you can hear that. If you don't actually discipline yourself and just focus and control yourself and do it and really get into it and work on it and keep at it through all 12 cantos, you can go on for the rest of your life reading Srimad Bhagavatam and you won't get past, you know, some particular canto. And you won't remember what you've read. So we have to work at our Krishna consciousness in different ways like these. And we have to work on our conduct. Sometimes devotees say that, you know, sometimes some devotees have told me on numerous occasions that, I know it's important to chant, I know, but sometimes I don't feel like it, and I don't want to be artificial. So rather than chant 16 rounds, sort of just, you know, just for the sake of it, I would rather do, you know, 2 rounds, 4 rounds, or some much lesser number of rounds, but really do them nicely. Hari Bol. On quite a number of occasions, I've met with devotees who had this kind of perspective on life or philosophy of life. But Prabhupada did not accept that. Prabhupada did not accept that. Better to do a smaller number of rounds, supposedly. But anyway, we'll see. We'll really see if it is actually, you know, those super duper rounds, or if it's just, again, something second class. Prabhupada encouraged specifically, try to do 16 rounds and try to do them with good quality also, and you have to work at it. So devotees feel like that, you know, some devotees sometimes, maybe not so many, but they're definitely there. And sometimes devotees say that, well, I don't know if I should try to sort of act according to the etiquette because, you know, it's not natural for me. And if someone insults me, well, and I feel like punching him in the face, well, I just think I should do it because I don't want to be artificial. So, I mean, punching someone in the nose may be one thing, but, you know, reacting in some fairly dynamic way, shall we say, that sometimes devotees feel like. But learning the Vaishnava etiquette and practicing the Vaishnava etiquette and working at it means we should learn what's right and what's wrong and try and cultivate what's right and avoid what's wrong. And gradually it becomes second nature. Like Prabhupada says in the early stages of Nectar of Devotion, in the beginning, the devotee gets up early in the morning on the order of the spiritual master, means just because we know Prabhupada said. So the alarm goes off and we think, oh no. Seriously, in some cases. But then we think, well, actually, Prabhupada wanted it, so I'm getting up. And we get up. You know, at least sometimes, however many times, we do get up, actually. Because Because it's the order of the spiritual master, not because we feel we want to do it. But then Prabhupada goes on to say that after some time, after practicing for some time, the devotee feels inspired to get up. And Prabhupada says the devotee is getting up and thinking how to decorate the deity and worship the deity. The devotee is very inspired like that. But it began with just, oh, Prabhupada says I've got to get up. Oh, well, okay. And I know it's literally like that for quite some number of devotees. This is what is called Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Vaidhi means the rules and regulations that the great acharyas and Krishna himself and Srila Prabhupada, they understand what will help us and what will not. And therefore they have listed out all those things for us, the do's and do nots. And if we do the do's and don't do the do nots, then we will be acting properly in Krishna consciousness. And when you act properly in Krishna consciousness, well, that's Krishna consciousness. And gradually you get used to it. Gradually the heart becomes purified. You make progress. And gradually it may become more spontaneous. Gradually it will become more spontaneous. So we should remember this. Please remember this, devotees, that we should try to cultivate acting nicely as devotees, learn what is acting nicely, learn what is not, and cultivate it. Yes. And even though sometimes it may not feel so natural because our conditioned nature, like if someone insults us, our conditioned nature tells us either to get angry or maybe to get depressed, some sort of emotional reaction. But we shouldn't just be victims of our emotions, particularly our material emotions. So it's a very important part of Krishna consciousness. And just to give a little more sort of detailed perspective, perhaps, on this, I thought we could look at a verse, maybe, in Srimad Bhagavatam. Well, two verses. I don't actually have the verse numbers right here, but it's from the seventh canto. The qualities of Prahlad Maharaj. It's two verses. I'll just read the translation. The qualities of Maharaj Prahlad, the son of Hiranyakashipu, are described herewith. Listen to this. This is, you know, a very wonderful example, practical example. He was completely cultured as a qualified Brahman, having very good character and being determined to understand the absolute truth. He had full control of his senses and mind. Like the super soul, he was kind to every living entity and was the best friend of everyone. To respectable persons, he acted exactly like a menial servant. To the poor, he was like a father. To his equals, he was attached like a sympathetic brother. And he considered his teachings spiritual masters and older God brothers to be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was completely free from unnatural pride that might have arisen from his good education, riches, beauty, aristocracy, and so on. This is really wonderful description of the character, nature of Prahlad Maharaj. Of course, he is exalted pure devotee of the Lord. He's not like us. We are what is called sadhakas. Did you know that you're a sadhaka? Sort of? Okay, good. Know that. We all, not just you all, but we all, are sadhakas. Sadhaka comes from the word sadhana. Sadhana means practice. Practice makes perfect. Yeah. If at first you don't succeed, try again. Yeah. So we are sadhakas, meaning people who are practicing. In this context, practicing means we are learning and then trying to apply what we learn in all different aspects of Krishna consciousness. How to chant, how to study the books, how even, you know, even things, simple things like how to clean a floor. How to clean a floor. Prabhupada, when he first started preaching, and some young people joined in New York, then one day he told them, okay, you know, clean the floor in the prasadam area. And someone got a mop and sort of waved it around. And if you really analyze what happens when you mop, at least to a significant extent, you know, one of the main things at least that you do is just move the dirt from one place to another on the floor. You may clean a bit up, but really not so much. So Prabhupada got on his hands and knees and demonstrated how to clean a floor. So, you know, this is an example of how we need to learn how to live as devotees, how to conduct ourselves, even in very basic things. You know, like perhaps one of the very first things you learn or should learn when you become a devotee is how to get up in the morning. You get up and brush your teeth, etc., and you take a bath. Oh, yes. And then you put on clean clothes. To some people, well, so many people, at least in Western society, they don't do that. Yeah, they just get up and, you know, grab a cup of coffee and off they go to work. You may have heard Mr. Seti, who was one of, he was not initiated, but he was like a disciple of Srila Prabhupada in Bombay. An older man, not as old as Prabhupada, but older than us. And he was explaining to us some years ago at Prabhupada's disappearance day in Vrindavan. He was explaining to all the devotees gathered some of his experiences with Srila Prabhupada. And he said, when he first met Prabhupada, Prabhupada asked him, "So, what's your program?" And Mr. Seti said, "Well, I'm in construction." And Prabhupada said, no. I mean, what is your morning program? What do you do?" And Mr. Seti said, "Well, I get up, I have a cup of coffee while reading the paper and go to the office." And Prabhupada said, Mr. Seti said, That Prabhupada said, so, what is the difference between you and a pig? This is called heavy preaching. When I first joined, you know, Prabhupada would some, not so much, but sometimes, really preach heavily. I remember being in Prabhupada's room once, actually, and Prabhupada told this one couple, not devotees, just visitors, you are no better than cats and dogs. And they said, yes, yes, you're right. And then they left, and Prabhupada turned to the assembled devotees in the room and said, I can speak to people like that because of my age, but it is probably better that you do not. Yeah. So, where was I? Oh, Mr. Setti. Yes, yes, when I joined. It was like the done thing. In fact, the term was there, getting heavy. And practically every devotee, at least on one occasion, maybe more than one, and some of them on a number of occasions during the day, would say to some other devotee, you know, something's not going my way exactly. I'm going to really get heavy with them. So we used to hear this all day, getting heavy, getting heavy, getting heavy. It was like the sort of the end thing, to get heavy with the other devotees. And they would do it. I remember when I joined, well, not even joined, actually the first day, I visited the temple. And ever visited a temple, I walked in the door of our temple in Berry Place, London, and there was this one brahmachari there, and I walked up to him and I said, are you a spiritual master? Because I was really looking for a spiritual master. So I just asked him, I didn't even say hello, I just asked him, are you a spiritual master? He just looked at me and he said, you look really spaced out. And later when I joined the temple and I sort of learned how things worked, I understood he was getting heavy with me. But at the time I thought, wow, why did he say that? I mean, it wasn't really aggressive or anything. It was just sort of antisocial. And then, I don't know if you know Subhag Swami. He lives in Mayapur. Saintly, saintly, soft, gentle, sweet devotee. He walked down the stairs and I asked him if he was a spiritual master. And he said, no, but come with me. Took me into the temple and he was really nice to me. And that was great. It was really, it helped. Yeah. So when I joined, there was this practice of, quote-unquote, literally, getting heavy with devotees. And it was just going on. It was really going on. And when I joined, which was not much later, then, a few devotees got heavy with me. And I understood, oh yeah, he's getting heavy with me. So, it didn't really matter so much. But one thing I've learned, let me just give you a little insight. I think it's a very interesting little insight, is that, particularly having been a spiritual master since, 25 years now. And having got a bit heavy with a few disciples. You know what my experience is? My experience is that getting heavy with devotees is not a very effective way of changing their behavior. And, you know, in fact, you know, some of them are sort of like tough or very surrendered and very humble, or just, you know, low self-esteem, something like that. They may be able to take it and deal with it and even learn from it. But so many devotees don't learn, and it just confuses them and hurts them and it doesn't help them. And it's, so my conclusion generally is it's not an effective, even an ineffective way of changing people's natures and habits and changing them. And we note here what Prahlad Maharaj did. He had very good character. He had full control of his senses and mind. Like the super soul, he was kind to every living entity and was the best friend of everyone. To respectable persons, he acted exactly like a menial servant. To the poor, he was like a father. To his equals, he was attached like a sympathetic brother. Yes, so, and he was highly respectful to his seniors. In fact, there's, Rupa Goswami describes how we should act when we interact with three levels of devotees. Three levels meaning in terms relative to us. Senior, equal, junior. So, with seniors there are two main things. You know, there are also details and subtleties, but two main things with seniors. We render service, and we inquire. With equals, we befriend them. It doesn't mean we just sit around and shoot the breeze, as they say, and just chit-chat about whatever. But we exchange in Krishna consciousness. What have you read recently, for example? And you know what? I was listening to a class of Srila Prabhupada's or my spiritual masters, and he said this and that, and you know, I found it very interesting. And this is what it actually means to befriend someone as an equal. You know, if the person was your senior, what you might say is, I was listening to this class by Srila Prabhupada and he said this, and I wonder if you could explain further perhaps, or, you know, something along those lines. But with an equal, you would discuss as friends, exchanging and encouraging each other. And with juniors, Prahlad Maharaj's example is the sympathetic brother, or Rupa Goswami says, with juniors, to be kind to be very merciful, to help them, to protect them in their spiritual lives. Yeah. Whereas in material life, when you meet someone senior, it may be, definitely it happens, sometimes you get envious of them. When Prabhupada was visited Japan and he went to visit the Dai Nippon printing company for negotiating about printing his books, then there was a young sales executive assigned to Prabhupada to discuss about the books, etc. And one day, Prabhupada was there for a few days, one day they had a big meeting with some of the big executives, and the young account executive was there also. And so they met with Prabhupada, and I think Tamal Krishna Goswami was there. Discussions happened, and then the big executives went out, and there was Srila Prabhupada and Tamal Krishna Goswami with the young executive. And all the big executives, each one of them had given Srila Prabhupada his business card. So there was like a little pile of them on the table. And the young executive's card was there on the bottom of the pile. And Prabhupada asked the young executive, "What is your goal? What is your ambition?" And the young executive, as I recall, didn't even say anything. He just picked up the cards, pulled his out from the bottom, and put it on the top. Famous story. Srila Prabhupada. So, in material life, it's really not uncommon at all that if someone is more advanced at work or more wealthy just in general like that those who are less qualified may become envious. And then when those who are their equals, they may become competitive. Yes, and try and show, actually, I'm better. And with those who are junior, they may exploit them, abuse them. Someone I remember, yes, and before I became a devotee, he had just got a job, and there was the new boy in the office. And so we were talking, and he said, "You know, I got this job, I meant to be some particular job, but all I do is I get coffee and tea for all the other workers." Because they're exploiting him. They're just taking advantage of him. Or abusing him. Like that. Yeah. Chastising him. We should be very careful about if we ever get the feeling of chastising someone, according to Vaishnava etiquette, and Srila Prabhupada himself states, you can only chastise someone who is your disciple or your son. And when we say disciple, we mean your actual disciple. Yeah, your actual disciple. Not just sort of, you know, like someone who's a bit junior to you. But someone who's your actual disciple, who you are officially committed to train. And you have to correct them. Or you're just, you know, negligent. So, I remember, some of you know, Vishakha, the sister of Satchikamaprabhu. You know the story. Famous story. They liked Father Madan Mohan Prabhu. Such a nice devotee. I mean, in his own way, very gentle, sweet soul. One day, the family was listening to a class of Srila Prabhupada's, and Srila Prabhupada said that you can only chastise sons or disciples. And so the whole family was listening. And a day or a couple of days or whatever, some little time after, Vishakha, who was just small, you know, she was a small girl, she did something wrong, and Madan Mohan Prabhu, the father, he chastised her. And she said, "Daddy, you know what Srila Prabhupada said? You can only chastise sons and disciples, and I'm your daughter. You can't chastise me." But actually, it's true. Yeah? For example, women are not meant to be chastised. Holy Prabhupada. Unless they're disciples. Then they can be chastised. But women are not meant to be. Women and children? Yeah. Well, small children can be chastised. Sons, to train them. But not daughters. Yeah. So these things are very important. Like learning how to deal. At least get some basic ideas. There are many intricacies. It's a whole science, actually. But at least get the basic ideas. Okay, seniors, we serve them. We inquire from them. Equals, we befriend in Krishna conscious ways. And juniors, we help. And we protect. And we guide, and you know, the rasa, if you look at it in terms of rasa, the rasa is parental with juniors. The rasa is parental. Therefore you find Srila Prabhupada, there's at least one occasion, and I think there's a few occasions, where Prabhupada is commenting on the song Sri Guru Charana Padma, which we chant every day if we're in Mangalati. So, Prabhupada, there's the one line in the middle of the song, Chakudan Dila Jay, Janme Janme Prabhu Say. And if you understand the language a little, then you'll understand that he's saying, Chakudan literally means, you have given me the dan, the donation of eyes. You have given me eyes. And therefore, janme janme, birth after birth, Prabhu, say, you're my master. But there's at least one occasion, and I think there's more, where Prabhupada is commenting on this and quoting it. And Prabhupada just says, Chakudan Dila Jay, Janme Janme Pita Say. That person who's given me eyes, transcendental vision, birth after birth, that person is my father. The rasa is parental. Yes, the rasa is parental. So we should learn. And practice interacting like this and doing it nicely in Krishna consciousness. And this will enrich us and enrich our lives. And as Lord Chaitanya said, it is the ornament of the devotee. As the devotee actually develops these qualities, They are like ornaments. We are not so concerned, devotees, about having rings, necklaces, and etc., etc. Of course, ladies, to some degree, it's okay. But we are not into, you know, making a sort of a spectacle of ourselves, a visual spectacle of ourselves. But a devotee is decorated, and the decoration is recognized by the insightful devotees, and by so many devotees, when they actually display these very nice qualities, and as the qualities become natural, like this, and this enriches the devotee, enriches the life of the devotee, and as more devotees do it, then the society of devotees becomes enriched. And then when people, ordinary people, from, you know, the hellish planets, like Johannesburg, when they come into that heavenly, transcendental, heavenly environment, they feel, wow, this is wonderful. And even just the devotees, when they come into that environment, they feel, wow, phew, what a relief to be in this transcendental atmosphere of love and care and niceness in so many ways. Yes, so these are some thoughts on the subject, on these subjects. You know, we're not exactly trying to start a sort of, what, I don't know what you say, a school for learning good manners. But still, like everything in Krishna consciousness, Bhaidisadhanati, we have to work at it. And we should work at controlling ourselves so we don't do the nonsense things. And we should work at controlling ourselves to try to conduct ourselves nicely and appreciate the devotees. Yeah? Value the devotees greatly. So these are some thoughts. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any comments or questions? Srinananda Prabhu.
Now you find that the certain verses also to describe in terms of etiquette that can also influence even the village or where people may be staying in.
Yes.
Yeah. So the ramification may also be further extended than not necessarily individual destruction.
Sure. That's a good point. Well, yeah, the specific thing that comes to mind, I think it's very appropriate, is Sringi, the son of Shanaka Rishi. Sringi, if you know the story, the background to Srimad Bhagavatam, the speaking of the Bhagavatam, Maharaj Pariksit was cursed by Sringi, who was a young, just partially trained Brahmin boy. And so he knew some things, and he had some power, but he was also lacking in some very important ways. You know, it's an interesting thing. Most people have their good points and their bad points. Yeah. Anyway, so Sringi, he is a bit of a long story, but he basically unnecessarily cursed Maharaj Parikshit to die in 7 days by the bite of a snake bird. And as a result of that, it was not proper. It was not proper. It was actually a Maha Vaishnava Aparad. Maha Vaishnava Aparad. Particularly considering Maharaj Parikshit as a most, most exalted devotee, associate of the Lord. So, because of that, because Sringi misbehaved, you could say, he misbehaved badly, the whole Brahminical community, the whole Brahmin society fell down. Yeah. So, because, well, you know, a very important part of the point is that it is not just the responsibility of the parents alone to train the child. And if the child then does nonsense, it's not just the fault of the parents or of the teachers at school, but it's actually the fault of the community. Because it takes, they say, it takes a village to raise a child. You know, our nuclear families of Kali Yuga, just the parents and the children, and sometimes it's just one parent. You know, these extraordinary and undesirable arrangements. One of the results is that, you know, at best it's very hard to grow a child into like a real, you know, person, first class person. It takes a village to bring up a child into like a complete person, rounded person. So there's a responsibility. This is your point, right? Yeah, there's a responsibility. And there are implications if, you know, some nonsense is just allowed in a particular community. There will be implications, ramifications. Yeah. Whereas, on the other hand, if someone becomes very advanced, then there'll be benefit for all the members of that community. Any other comment or question? Devotees?
Mm-hmm. I normally make the point that, you know, Vaishnava etiquette is our etiquette to the spiritual world. It's like Vaishnava etiquette.
Okay. Vaishnava etiquette is the etiquette. The etiquette.
And it's, you know, the keys, the behavior, sometimes, you know, people who may not understand the principles of Vaishnava etiquette may, see it either as inferior or, you know, however they may perceive it. But, you know, here's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is making the point that if a devotee observes and protects the Vaishnava etiquette, it pleases the Lord.
Yes.
So, you know, and as we were making the point this morning also, that if that principle is there and I'm actually pleasing Krishna, then immaterial of how others may perceive it or understand it, you know, to be, we should know that that's, you know, still proper because it's pleasing Krishna.
Okay.
Yeah. Because sometimes we may want to try to please, let's say, materialistic people or external variables or people,
yeah.
And lose the focus that actually Krishna is pleased.
Sure. Any other of you great souls have a comment or a question? You know what they told me? I'll tell you. you what they told me? They told me that all the devotees in Midrand are very intelligent. Oh yes. And very thoughtful. They told me that. And that they have many questions. That's what they told me. Okay, I tell you what, we can end here. But unless someone does have a last comment or question. But otherwise, I just had a thought. Is, to my knowledge, I could be wrong. We don't have a program on Monday?
No.
So we could have another, like, just an evening like this here. I can find some subject and we can look into that subject. What do you think?
Jai.
Is that acceptable?
Jai.
Maybe you can give me the title of the subject and then we can email it out as
well. Alright, let me think about it. Yeah, that's good. Okay, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.